And it hits me, oh my gosh, this is that triangle.
You know, there's explanation for everything that occurred in the Rendlesham Forest incident that doesn't involve aliens at all.
It was completely silent. It comes right over our heads.
He saw a classic flying saucer really standing in a clearing.
He turned over to my father and held his hand and he looked in his eyes and he said, we're not alone.
Welcome to Podcast UFO for our live show. We're live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on podcastufo.com. During the show, feel free to participate live in our chat room. And don't forget to like us on our very active Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Martin Willis, your host, and Alejandro Rojas is coming right up with the UFO updates in just 1 minute. Our guest this evening is Albert Rosales, and he has some interesting research that he's done of people actually seeing weird, like humanoid-like beings. It's really I've been reading one of his books. It is pretty fascinating, and he goes right into documenting them and the source. Very interesting. Should be a fun show tonight. Thank you, supporters, for supporting the show. And if you'd like to help us out for $2 or more a month, you can just go to podcastufo.com, and right on the top menu bar, all that information's right there. We are streaming live on YouTube, and that's been real engaging for the chat room. It's been real nice. And anyone can watch that. And that's on right on our homepage or on YouTube. And there's the chat room is also on our homepage. We also have our show coming up on Monday. That's the Everything Else show. Next week coming up is about Fukushima and basically the nuclear hot seat. So that'll be an interesting show, I believe. Anyway, I think we are ready to get going. Alejandro, how are you?
Good. How are you, my friend?
I am doing pretty good despite a few setbacks. You know, I just got to stay off ladders and stuff. That's all I'm going to say. I don't really want to get into it, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just
want you to stay off ladders, too.
Yeah. But doing good. Glad to be here, actually. And so what is happening in the news this week?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Our award to Tom DeLonge at the conference, we talked about that last week, I'm sure, has gone viral. Ooh. So I counted like something like 27 sites that wrote about it today, the biggest being CNET, but I think it was New York Daily News wrote about it. So it's all over the place.
Excellent.
Now, CNET, yeah, which is good and bad. Good because, you know, CNET wrote about it, and they have a great article. It's just straightforward, giving the information for the most part. But most of the sites are making fun of Tom DeLonge. But it's a bit frustrating because they're not talking about the content of what he did, which I think is so important. You know, they're not really talking about mm-hmm. how he talked with Podesta and these generals and everything. They're just kind of making fun of him for talking about UFOs, and they may be just fast forwarding through our video and the part about why we gave him the award and just looking at what he said, because they're also kind of making fun of him for staying up at night and reading UFO books and all of this sort of thing. So it's good because it gets exposure, I guess, to all of this stuff and to the Congress, but it's bad in that most of them aren't taking it too seriously.
That is too bad. After I watched your video, which I highly recommend, it's also on my sidebar, anyone can watch it. I watched the Larry King with Tom DeLonge, James Fox, and Michael Shermer. And mm-hmm. that is pretty interesting. So this goes all the way back to 2014. When he was talking about UFOs, and yes, he really is, you know, he was talking about starting out in the seventh grade and, you know, his reading habits, reading everything he can find on it. He really is into the topic. You know, what I took from your video, and I encourage the listener to check it out, is that he is claiming to be coming out with a message in a short period of time that is going to be pretty important. You know, I mean, it's got us, you know, I'm curious to what it is, but, you know, he seems to think that it's going to be a big deal, whatever that message is.
And I guess, you know, I have a little bit of insight, not a whole lot. You guys will have what I have in just a second here. But essentially, he's saying, from what I understand from people close to him and his people, is that it won't be him alone saying stuff, that it will be, I guess, some credible people will be coming out about something. I don't know what. And so people will say, well, why are we going to believe him? Well, I guess it won't be just a matter of believing him.
Wow. Interesting. Well, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I sure hope I don't miss it when things happen.
No, I'm sure you won't. But people, the other thing, some people have been critical. Why him? They assume that we chose him because he's a rock star. But that is not the case. And I think I said this before. I feel, you know, it's a big deal. Like you said, he's been doing this for quite some time. He has been researching and looking for stuff. And he will be sharing actual research. And I've asked other people this, and no one's giving me an answer, is in the last year, you know, who else has done something really significant in this field? And I can't think of anyone. And really, when you think about how significant what he did, especially with that meeting with these generals and John Podesta and this guy from Skunk Works, nobody in ufology has ever put together or been part of a meeting like that at all. No right. UFO researcher, period, ever. So it's significant, not just for this year, but it's significant for the field overall. And so that's why, in my humble opinion, and some may disagree, the award was well deserved. So some people said, well, why is it going to a rock star and not a UFO researcher who's devoted their life to it? Well, because none of them did anything that significant this year. One, two, you know, it's almost even – look at all of the heat that Tom DeLonge is taking. Like in these stories that I mentioned, some of them are really making fun of him. And and so he's taking all of this, you know, ridicule when he didn't have to.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't discourage him.
And I know. Me too, because it does discourage a lot of people. You know people who it discourages. Even myself, you know, sometimes I think, why do I do this? People are such jerks. So I hope he doesn't get discouraged as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't question his intentions. I don't think he's doing it. I think he's doing it out of passion. That's what I'm getting from the more I look into what he's doing. I don't think he's doing it out for any other reason. And certainly, you know, he's got to worry about what people think about him if he does. But one of the messages that he has is to get the information out to young people. And I think he's a really good tool for that because of his, you know, his celebrity stance. So I think, you know, I just wish all the good for him.
Yeah, me too. So, they should be sharing some stuff with us soon, at least giving us discount codes and stuff so people can get his new nonfiction book that's coming out soon at a discount. So I'll let you know next week. Hopefully we have something by then.
All right. So what else is happening in the world of UFOs?
What else is happening in the world of UFOs? Well, we've got a couple things going on. Roger has been diligently writing for us for MUFON. And this is kind of interesting. I don't know if you watched this video from North Carolina that we posted.
No, I was just going on your site earlier today, though I didn't catch that video. But I mean, I do see it, but I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Mm-hmm. The witness says, the title is North Carolina Witness Unsure, UFO or Drone. And if you watch the video, you do see kind of this white object up in the sky. I guess it could be some sort of debris. It looks like it's moving. And it doesn't look like a drone, and it's really high. In fact, someone commented in our comments saying, I use drones all the time, and this is way too high to be a drone. So this person didn't feel it was a drone. It doesn't look like a plane. I guess it could be a reflection, but it seems smaller than what a plane would look like. So it doesn't do anything extraordinary. It's just a white kind of object kind of floating around up there and kind of at an angle. So it is an interesting video. This person said that they shot the video from their cell phone. It was in front of their house. It was a sunny afternoon at about 4:30 p.m. on April 2nd, 2016, so nearly a year ago. He says he's near a lake and a river, so they're used to seeing large birds like herons, but he doesn't think this is a bird. And I don't see any flapping, so I'm not quite sure if it's a bird either. They also said it could have been a drone because, you know, it moved sort of slowly, but it's pretty large. So, yeah, people mm-hmm. have to take a look and see what they think.
Yeah, it's sort of an odd shape, too. You know, it's not something that you'd think a drone would be shaped like, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. So that's a weird one. Another weird one that was posted by Roger just yesterday was this Pennsylvania witness reporting an unusual lights beaming to the ground. So this person who says they sleep pretty heavily was woken up a couple times recently. The first one was about 1:30 a.m. and this was recently.
November 15th.
Yeah, there you go. November 15th. So this one's kind of funny. Woken up by the dog because the dog seemed to be freaking out, and there were beams of lights in her backyard, and the dog was barking. She couldn't figure out what it was, and there was some sort of large light that this seemed to come from, a huge, bright, round light. So this happened again a few days later, or actually in January, where woken up in the middle of the night and these lights were beaming in the backyard. So then the witness noticed that they had been bitten by something, presumably the dog. So the dog must have been freaked out enough that the dog bit its owner to wake her up. And so, yeah, kind of a weird story outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah, it really is. There's a nice graphic with that, too. It's too bad. I mean, she just didn't think to get it, get it filmed or pictures or something. But, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that graphic, I made that a while ago, and I've used it a few times. It is actually a depiction of, like, Rendlesham if you were in the forest at some point. That's mm-hmm. what that originally I made that for. But it works for this because it shows a big round white light beaming a beam down to the ground. And of course, we hear these stories in Rendlesham, also, you know, Lee Spiegel's sighting and others where, you know, these objects mm-hmm. beam a light down at people. So very strange stuff, I would say.
And also, I was talking earlier about our guest this evening, Albert Rosales, who wrote one of the books he wrote was early sightings from 1 AD to, I can't remember exactly when, but somewhere in ancient, you know, history, there's a talk about a white ball beaming down lights. So this is probably nothing new.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think of some ancient story that was in, but I don't have any. But, yeah, who knows? They could have been flying around quite a bit, beaming people's feet for some reason.
You know,
it's kind of funny because someone posted a story, and I've thought about this before, too. What if we found a planet and the planet was more primitive than we are?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what would we do? And I think what we would do is we probably would observe them. And if they were very primitive compared to us, we might even, you know, kidnap one or abduct one and check it out and then put it back. Or if the scientists were more unscrupulous, which is possible, I hope they'd be wiser than this, they might even take one and cut it up just to check it out. So, I mean, it's just funny to think about it from that perspective, especially when we get closer and closer to be able to send vehicles to great distances, like the Breakthrough initiative, where they want to send these little parasails,
little mini things,
mm-hmm. yeah, mini things to the nearby solar systems to check them out.
If we're going to, you know, cut anything up, we should mutilate one of their cows if they have any.
Yeah, we may just do that. May think, well, we can't mutilate the people, so let's mutilate one of these creatures that they eat.
Now, this is really an interesting, I mean, I would really like to get into this topic because it's really fascinating to me. And, you know, I think about, would we present ourselves, you know, a lot of people say, well, why don't, if they are UFOs and they are, you know, visiting us, why don't they present themselves? What would we do? Would we want to, you know, disturb their culture and everything by saying, hey, we're from another planet and they're, you know, they don't even know what a planet is or, you know.
And if they were primitive enough, you know, we wouldn't even bother because we wouldn't see the need, I don't think, especially mm-hmm. if they didn't even have their own language. They just kind of grunted. We wouldn't necessarily have a need to share any information, nor would we necessarily know how. So, I mean, yeah, it is kind of funny because even in today's world, if we were to come across a primitive culture, we would probably treat them much the same way people report, you know, being treated by extraterrestrials, namely abductees. I mean, it's kind of funny that people think it's kind of far-fetched, the abduction stories, but there are so many people that say they're having these experiences. And yeah, what they're reporting being done to them is probably what we would do to a civilization that we ran across. So, yeah, it's interesting to think about, I think.
Yeah, but also another thing I know that I always do it, or I have to always stop myself, is thinking that they would think in the way that we think.
Mm-hmm. You know, right, good point.
Yeah, we don't even know what their philosophies are or evolutions or anything. But
I like to say, you know, with humans, there's often many humans where we don't know why they do what they do. So
for sure.
It would make sense we wouldn't understand, you know, necessarily what the motivations would be for an extraterrestrial civilization.
Right, righto. All right, well, hey, we went a little bit over, but that was cool. It's been a great discussion, as always.
All right, well, wonderful to talk to you again, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot. Hang in, everyone. We'll be right back after this quick music with our guest, Albert. Albert, how are you?
Hello, I'm here. How are you?
Good. You remember to unmute your mic.
Yes.
How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I started reading one of your books. I thought it was actually really fascinating. It looks like you go into some really deep detail. You source your witness accounts and things like that. First of all, let's talk a little bit about you. Who are you, and what got you interested in this topic in the beginning?
Well, you know, I had my own experiences myself when I was a kid. I was born in Cuba. I'm migrated to the United States back in 1966. And when I was a child in Cuba, I had a couple experiences that back then I couldn't relate to what they were, to UFOs. I'll mention one. I was sitting outside with my parents and some other neighbors, and suddenly something flew over across the street that looked like a big egg with lights, and no one knew what it was. Somebody yelled out it was the Yankees, the Americans, okay? Because, you know, back in the Cold War. Anyway, the thing flew over the house. I ran back to the backyard, and it hovered. I stood under it for a while, and before I knew it, it was gone. And I don't it was late, and that's it. I didn't remember seeing it leave. And then after that, we lived in Spain for a little bit, then came to the U.S. For some reason, I was always attracted to weird stuff, phenomena, not UFOs directly, but different stuff, you know. I started reading a lot about the Devil's Triangle, all the early books that came out on UFOs. And then I joined the Navy. And back then I was, 19, maybe 18. And that was in 77. And back then they published a UFO magazine called Saga UFO Report. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. And I was subscribed to it, and I got the magazine up in Great Lakes in Chicago, and they called me in to the naval chief, chief petty officer, as you say, and they called me in the office, and they wanted to know why did I like to read this subject, and you know about the subject, and a little interrogation there, which I thought it was kind of funny, and they prohibited me from receiving that magazine again at the Great Lakes. But anyway, after that, I've been working law enforcement now for over 32 years, local. I'm already retired soon, hopefully. And for some time now, I've been compiling an anthology of encounters with UFOs and mostly entities, or what they call humanoids, from all over the world. I gather material from published sources over the internet. People contact me, researchers send me material from other countries. I translate a lot of it, exchange material, and I have compiled now over almost 19,000. I have summarized almost 19,000 cases, mostly involving encounters with all types of humanoids. All types.
Wow.
And other type of incidents, too. I have 15 volumes published already.
All right. I'm hearing a tapping, just to let you know.
That was my foot. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. 15 okay. Volumes. That's
yes.
That's amazing. And the one you sent me is your latest one, and that goes 1 AD forward to...
Well, it actually goes before 1 AD, but the publisher thought I should put 1 AD because, yeah. But it goes before that, and it goes up to 1 AD to, I believe, 1899. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, yeah. This is kind of fascinating because you're getting material. It's not just from the internet. Are you getting, I was thinking there's probably so many, early books, especially all through Europe. I'm sure there's a lot of accounts, which will never hit the internet, you know?
Oh, no. Yeah, there's a lot of material there that I have gotten from researchers, let's say from Poland, Finland, Spain, and these cases are, you'll never read about them anywhere else. Yeah. And many of the Spanish cases, since I speak Spanish, I could translate it myself. Now, I had another researcher from Ukraine, and he sent me a lot of material too. He helped me translate a lot of the cases. But there's cases there from all over the place. Currently, I'm translating a couple of books right now, like this one from Mexico. And there's like every day I enter new cases into my database.
I see. Okay. Someone's trying to make a call. Unfortunately, it's not allowing me to add the call to this, which would just basically hang up on our guest. So okay. Sorry, we'll just keep continuing here. So in the accounts that you're reading, I noticed a lot of them had sort of like religious connotations. Do you think that's just how people interpreted them, what they were seeing at the time?
I think so. A lot of the so-called Marian apparitions, or the Virgin Mary apparitions back in the, especially the one in the early 18th century, 19th century, the Fatima in Portugal. Some of these beings act very similar to modern day accounts of humanoids and supposedly extraterrestrials. Like some of the beings seen at in Portugal back in 1917 and 16, from 1915 to 1917, were similar to modern day descriptions of humanoids. I'm not talking about the small grays with the big eyes. The grays seem to be like a new latecomers to ufology. I call them latecomers anyway. But a lot of those there's definitely a relationship between the Marian apparitions or the Virgin Mary apparitions and UFOs.
Right, right.
I believe
seems to be quite quite a bit. Yeah, and what I was just reading today in your book, there were a number of them that related to that. So, were there ever any, through all the beings you looked, through information on, were there any like unusually sized, like really large or really small, beings that people, I didn't see any so far, and I just wondered about that.
In that early book, the one from, you don't see too many variants on the humanoids there, because this is our from cases from back in the, 1500s, 1400s, 1300s, and they interpreted things different, but in later years, we have humanoids of all sizes. Yeah, the tiny ones seen in Malaysia back in the 70s. I was sent an account from Spain from 2014, from directly to me by the witness. Him and some friends, they encountered a humanoid that was, he said it was well over 5 meters tall. Tall, wow. Dark
figure.
It's like
15 feet or close to 15 feet, yeah.
A little more than that. So we have all sizes, the description of all sizes.
Wow. Oh. And what is some of the really unusual ones? I mean, I was reading today where they saw them dressed when looked like glass and, all different types of weird stuff. And people that are green and they lose their green color later in life and,
believe it or not, there's been reports of little green men, which everybody makes fun of. But there's been people that claim they've seen. And we're talking about cases that have been investigated by the different researchers, not people that come on in the internet and send you the account, but the case. There's many cases. One that really interests me are when the people encounter different type of humanoids apparently working together, either inside the ship if they've been abducted or next to the ship. I know a case in France, which is I always found it fascinating, with a couple that were parked in a wooded area. They were out there necking, I believe, and then they saw an object land nearby, a big dome-shaped thing. It landed, a hatch, a big doorway became visible. And first, there was like three or four little, the small size humanoids come out. Not exactly grays. They had the large head, but their eyes were more human-like. And after that, two tall figures came out, and these two figures were like tall, blonde hair. Long blonde hair, silver outfits, and these were like the what you will call the nowadays Nordic type entities. Mm-hmm. Now the most interesting part, after these two came out, another figure came out to the door and stood there. They thought it was standing there either a guard or just standing watch. He said he looked like a big hairy ape, okay, and it just sat there by the door of the object. And now this case is interesting. After these, they left. They went back the same way they came out. They went back into the ship and then took off. Now at a nearby farm, the farmer and his daughters heard noises and saw lights. And after that, they found some footprints in their yard that were different sizes. Which the researcher that sent the case think it was directly related to the incident.
Wow, that's strange.
Independent confirmation there.
Yeah. Has your later books ever kind of delved into other types of cryptoids besides the humanoids, or do you try to stay? I saw a couple of things like that, but do you try to stay mostly with what people are claiming are humanoids?
I try to stay within the humanoid aspect of the matter. I do include a lot of the Bigfoot type encounters, especially if they're like the more interesting encounters, which involve Bigfoot that able to either have to speak telepathically to the witness, or Bigfoot type creatures that vanish or they're shot at and nothing happens to them, or they disappear in a ball of light. there's many cases like that. And I include a lot of the other entities, like little people, fairies, the mermaids, the centaur, the wolfman, a lot of these cases. I can't include all of them, but it's already, this is like a chronology of over, like I said, 19,000 cases.
Wow.
Which not all of them I could include in the book. There'd be just too many of them in the books.
Wow. Interesting. Hey, we are, Albert, we're having a problem with buffering on YouTube for some reason, and my internet signal is really strong, so I can't understand it. So I would like to shut your, go ahead and shut your camera off, if you would, please. I'm just going to try to do that on this end.
Shut it off? Okay.
Yeah, shut your camera right off. And I'm going to just try to do a couple things on this end, and we'll continue. You can go ahead and continue talking, though. I'd like to, I almost want to start out by asking you what's the weirdest thing that anyone said, but it seems like there's so many weird things. So why don't you go into some of the kind of really strange ones that people have talked about?
Let me, I was preparing some of them that were sent directly to me by the witnesses, and I'll find some for you guys now. These are like people that I spoke to over the phone, or they were mostly in communication with me, mostly in email or phone communication. I have met witnesses only in my local area, which I have been able to investigate. Let me bring up this file here.
In your local area, really?
Wow. Yeah, I have some cases here, which several. Some of them including supposedly abductions and stuff. Here, I'm here in Miami, South Miami.
Oh, you're in Miami. Okay.
Yeah. Here's one, an interesting case that was sent to me directly by a witness from Connecticut, a place called Naugatuck, N-A-U-G-A-T-U-K. Back in 1970, she was a six-year-old girl, young, and one night she woke up all of a sudden. She was hearing her name being called, and you know she got up, and for some reason she felt compelled to go to the front door, and she knew, for some reason, she knew that she had to go outside and meet somebody. It was funny. She had a little box that she carried with her, like a suitcase, and she packed it and walked out with some socks and panties. She walked downstairs and through the front door. And this is a funny thing. She said she walked through the front door. She did not open. And she didn't think at the time that that was a strange thing. They just thought it was, you know, just walk through the door. She said she walked down the driveway and turned right and walked up and with her head down. And all of a sudden, she came up to a big pair of feet, she says, attached to some legs. She looked up, and there was a figure of a man. It was, she said, it to her, it looked like a giant silver man made out of silver, shiny. And she knew there was no danger. Somehow, she knew that. I mean, she looked at it, and he had no clear features or anything like that. So this is when she asked the entity, whatever it was, she goes, "Are you God?" And she thought it was God, maybe a little girl, she couldn't think of anything else. She said that the entity laughed. She heard her laughter in a warm, amused way, and then responded, "No, child, I'm not God, and you can't stay here." Told him she couldn't stay there. He then turned her around and swatted her gently on her behind and told her, again, "You must go home, Kathy." He added before she left, "It's not time." Hmm. Obediently, she turned around and marched right back home and went inside her house in the same manner that she had, exited, right through the door and back into her bed. You know, I always found that case, you know, very interesting, amusing. I wish I could have met the witness in person, but Connecticut, I'm here in Miami. Sometimes I don't have the time, you know, but to go in person. But I found it very an intelligent person and reliable.
Right. Wow. So have you, besides these people here, have you gone so far as to actually interview people, like, say, by phone or Skype or something like that, to get someone's account. And has that ever been an option for you?
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of phone interviews. Done a lot of local cases. Back in the 1990s, 96, 95, when they had that I don't know if you heard the Chupacabra craze that originated in Puerto Rico. And somehow we started getting cases here in South Florida. I actually went out to a couple locations with the late researcher, Virgilio Sanchez Osejo. He passed away last year. Anyway, we went to a location where I spoke to, it was like a nursing home, and they had a big yard with some animals. They had some goats there, and they found some of the goats dead. They had like holes on their necks. And one of the ladies that was looking out the window at night claimed she saw some kind of a creature outside. And the creature was like a bipedal creature, didn't appear to have any clothing. And she looked at it, and it jumped the fence and vanished. Now, I was there, and I saw one of the dead goats. Now, the funny thing, the goat had a couple of holes in the neck. I bent down, I touched it, I don't know why, and then something started leaking out of the hole. It looked like green fluid. Oh. It wasn't blood, it was something green. I've never seen it before. Now, me and Virgilio, we never thought of picking up the carcass or doing anything with it. Somebody else came in a pickup truck and took the dead goats away, and we don't know where it happened to them.
Wow.
Which I found very interesting.
Just watch the noise on your side, if you would, please.
And my dog is over here. I'm trying to get her out.
Oh. I see. I can't see you now.
There we go.
Yeah. How many of these stories, even going way back in the past, a percentage-wise, just kind of a guess from you, but had an association with UFOs involved, or some type of, you know, ball of light or whatever, where there were humanoids that actually, you know, either turned up or actually, you know, some type of association with that?
Well, I believe most of them, I would say maybe 80%, they were either some kind of UFO sighted. They were sighted in the UFO, next to the UFO, or near the UFO, or in the general vicinity where UFOs have been seen. Wow. Now there's either a ball of light or a saucer or a triangle shape, whatever type of UFO. But most of these cases deal with UFO encounters also.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't. That's really something. And have you yourself had a UFO encounter?
Yes, I have. Like I say, back in Cuba, the one I mentioned at the beginning.
I'm sorry.
Can you excuse me 1 second?
Sure thing. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. One moment. That's all right. We're used to things happening on this show. So I think he has to move his dog or something like that. So if anyone in the chat room has questions, I will try to pose them to our guest tonight. If you want to put them,
okay, I'm back. I'm very sorry. Okay.
All right, no problem. And
when I was in the Navy, I was in Europe a couple times in what they call Mediterranean cruise. I had a top secret clearance. I was a radioman on board a destroyer tender, and one day we were in Puerto de Mallorca, in the Balearic Islands in the Mediterranean. We stopped there a lot. And one morning I was up on the deck, the ship, and I looked up at, there were some hills and beyond the city, and I saw two like silver aircraft. They were not moving, they were just hovering there. And I grabbed one of the binoculars. I looked at it. I looked at them, and they just stay there. I couldn't tell the shape too well because they were very far away. And then all of a sudden, they just moved out and disappear. This is one while I was in the Navy. And I have other encounters, mostly when I was a child. I had some weird encounters. Maybe some of them were not related to UFOs, maybe to other kind of entities. But I remember one time in walking to the hallway in my house, there was a mirror on the hallway. I looked at the mirror, and there was a man in the mirror staring at me. He looked like he had a beard, and to me, I thought he was wearing some kind of helmet that looked like one of those Spanish conquistador type of helmet back in the one the Spanish used to wear. And I remember this is in Cuba, so I remember the Spanish were in Cuba a lot. And who knows? Maybe what I saw was a ghost. I'm not sure. There was definitely nobody there with me behind me. So.
Wow. Now, a lot of these beings seem to communicate. And what would you say it was a percentage, or were there a lot of cases where there was some type of communication? When I was reading through, I saw where there were unknown languages and things like that. But
a lot of the communication is done telepathically.
Yeah,
they speak into the mind of the witness, or the witness hears them in their mind, and usually they speak in a language that the witness can recognize. Or if this, let's say you're in Spain, and they'll speak to you in Spanish. You're in the U.S., they'll speak to you in English. It all depends where you're at, but they do mostly communicate telepathically. There's been cases also where they speak, you know, like we're speaking now. But you can hear them. And sometimes there are others that do not communicate. Or they either they speak among themselves in an unknown language. It all depends. It's just depends on the encounter. It's just many different types of encounters. And I think there's many different type of humanoids or entities.
Right. I mean, it seems to be. What about how early has anyone described something that may sound like a gray, you know, basically a gray early alien?
Okay, if you're like a UFO historian like I am, if you look at the books, the early books, Passport to Magonia by Jacques Vallée.
Yeah.
And The Humanoids, Charles Bowen. If you read the accounts there, none of those accounts mention a human or a being that resembles a gray. Mm-hmm. Now, people say, well, there's people that have been abducted back in the 50s and even the 40s that describe gray-type entities. Yeah, a lot of these people remember those encounters, but they remember those encounters here now in the 90s or in the 21st century when they're either hypnotically regressed or they all of a sudden they have they remember the encounter. I will say gray type humanoids were seen like in the late 70s, maybe 1975 on 76.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, I wondered about that, you know, and you mentioned just a little bit ago about the tall whites or something that kind of falls along that line.
The Nordic type.
The Nordic type.
Tall,
yeah.
Blonde, yeah.
Yeah. Are there any type of, consistencies in some of the sightings through different areas, you know, geographically? Or I know you said there's so many different kinds, but is there anything that was sort of a trend in any type of way that you're aware of?
Well, I know of cases that let's say have occurred in totally different locations, and let's say one in the Ukraine, one here in South Miami, and they're almost the same to a T, the same type of incident. And I say to myself, how could they, this witnesses separated by thousands of miles and by 20 years, describe almost the same thing? There's this case in South Miami, back when there were only tomato fields down in South Dade, where a witness was driving down US-1 and he saw, like, he described a blimp type object descend over a field, tomato field, and a big, like he said, steady looking an elevator came down and from the object, and the hatch opened and some cars started driving out. Cars, I'm talking. Huh. And these cars were just drove into the US-1 and just drove away. And he was here dumbfounded looking at it. Now, I'm talking 1991. How many years? Maybe 30 years or so after that. In the Ukraine. Huh. I don't have the case in front of me. A witness sent a case to researcher Anton Anfalov. He never heard of this case in South Miami. This case was only published by a newsletter here in Miami-Dade County back in the 60s. I don't even know. I don't think it is even in the Humcat catalog. But anyway, this witness describes seeing a a cigar-shaped object over a field, and an elevator descended from the bottom of the craft, and cars started driving out of it. And these cars were, well, of course, the Russian vehicles or whatever vehicles they had back then in 91. But and then there's another car, another case that was told to me by a Spanish researcher, J.J. Benitez. Oh, I don't know if you heard about his books, but from Mexico, almost the same scenario. A huge object, rectangular, descends over the field, and cars can come out of it. I mean, this kind of case, it sounds too high strange. I mean, it's, you take it or leave it. You be your own judge. That's what I say.
Yeah. Just watch the tapping on your side, if you would, please.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know it's you probably don't even realize you're doing it. Okay. So there was a case in Australia. I believe it was Australia, where the cars were driving down the highway and they saw these beings get out of a craft that landed. And it was quite a scary case. Are you familiar with that one? I was trying to find that and I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's a case that occurred in 1993. What's the name of the witness, Kathy? I can't remember right now, but it was a scary case because the entities that were seen were very scary looking. They were like tall, black in color, glowing red eyes, and they didn't seem friendly at all. This witness, the main witness, there were other witnesses, but the main witness wrote a book about it, which I have. I have no idea where it is, and I can't remember her name. But I do remember the case that you're referring to. Yeah, and it happened in August 1993.
Yeah,
in Australia.
Yeah, I'd like to look into that case more. There must be someone. I believe at one time I tried to reach out to her, whoever the witness is, and I was not able to find any contact information.
I know she wrote a book, and like I said, I don't have it in front of me right now.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to find it here in my laptop right now.
Oh, that's okay. Someone wanted to know in the forum, there's some questions in there. Had anyone actually reported anything with any creatures like with wings or something like that, really strange like that?
Oh, yeah, many cases. What they call winged humanoids or flying humanoids. They're all over the place now. They were not that common back in the day in the 50s. And then we got what happened in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the Mothman. Some of the first winged humanoids that were seen there. In the 70s, not so much, but there were many, you know, cases here and there. Mm-hmm. They seem to come of age in the late 90s and the 2000s, and a lot of winged humanoid-type cases, even many of them related in connection to UFO encounters and all that. Yeah, many of them. I have many of those in all my, in my books and my files.
I know you talked earlier about abduction, or I heard you say a little bit about it. Were there a lot of, I'm saying back in history, were there encounters where people saw humanoids and then they were taken somewhere? Sound like an abduction?
Yeah, let me tell you what would happen a lot in the Middle Ages. People were claimed that they were picked up by strange entities or humanoids, and they were accused of being witches or warlock, and then they were burned at the stake. That happened a lot. There were people in England, Spain, that claimed they were taken through the air by strange creatures and deposited miles away where they were, and then there were the Inquisition will interview them, and they the only conclusion they could come up with was that they were in cahoot with the devil, that there were demons that did this. So maybe that happened a lot in the Middle Ages, but it wasn't understood, and the poor people that were abducted and were burned at the stake or worse.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's something else. And I'm just trying a couple of different things because I'm getting a message on my software that's saying that it says I have too many video settings on, and I don't have anything showing right here. I just want to make sure.
Video settings, okay.
Yeah, and I don't have anything that I am aware of up now. So hopefully things will clear up We're still having some buffering issues. Anyway, okay, so let's continue. And a question in the forum. I'm not quite understanding this, but I mean, it sounds kind of interesting. Have you ever heard of cases where humanoids appeared to be two-dimensional? In other words, no depth, almost like a sheet of paper. I'm wondering if you meant like, kind of like what they call the shadow figures or something like that.
Well, I have heard of those. It's kind of different from a shadow figure. A shadow figure is some I've seen those. I have encountered them. And most of the time when you encounter one of these shadow figures, it's like the fear is incredible. For some reason, it's like you can't control yourself. But it looks like something like a human-shaped figure, blacker than the night. Blacker than the room can be dark, but it's darker than the room. That's why you can see it. Incredible. But there's some substance to it. I mean, you can see it sideways or it moves. But some of these, that question, the three-dimensional, I have heard of cases in which people have reported entities or creatures that they look like flat. They're like flat. Maybe they're like a piece of paper. They seem not to have any... not to be three-dimensional, only a couple of dimensions, two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. They turn around, they turn sideways, and all you see is a thin line. There's no depth. I have heard of those cases. They're not too common. I can't think of any on top of my head right now, but yeah, I have heard of those.
Wow. And how about some that vanish? Do people talk about that?
Yeah, all the time. That it happens with UFOs. You're seeing right. A UFO hovering over the house, and you look up, it just disappears. You don't see it fly away. It just disappears. Same thing with some of these humanoid encounters. You might see a creature outside in the front yard or a creature in your bedroom that it suddenly appears there, and you try to get up, and all of a sudden it vanishes right in front of you.
Yeah.
Some of these entities are sometimes there's a flash of light, and some of these turn into a ball of light and just fly out the window. There's been some cases like that.
Yeah. I hate to ask this, but is there some music in your background? I didn't hear that earlier. Is it just in another room or something you can't do anything about?
Let me close the door. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Hold on one second. But it's far away, and I'm surprised you could hear. Hold on one second.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. Yeah. All right, everyone, hang in there. He's going to be right back. Oh, someone here is a squeaky fan. That should do it. That should keep the dog out, too, I would think. And someone hears crickets. That's something you never want to hear in a show of any kind is crickets.
There we go.
There, you back?
Okay. The door was open, too. Maybe there were crickets outside.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
That's right. You're in Miami. Yeah, nice and warm. Yeah. So now one of the things I was thinking of is, you know, you hear people that, say they're abducted today and they describe all the different types of creatures that abduct them. The grays, of course, being the most common or what you hear the most. Then there's the reptilians and there's the mantis type or, all these... And I'm not saying, I'm not saying I, sort of buy into any of this. I really don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about certain things like this. But when you're looking, doing this research, do you actually, find those type of beings?
Like I said, almost 19,000 summaries, and they're all type of beings. Reptilians, I had people... I talked to a woman here locally that in person I talked to her. She said she was in her home and and all of a sudden in her room, a female appeared, a woman, type of alien looking, but, still human looking. And what she spoke to her, all of a sudden her face changed into a reptilian type creature. And this really, of course, frightened her. And then and she kind of backed up, and then this creature, whatever it was, just disappeared. But it apparently morphed into a reptilian. But I have plenty of cases of reptilians and all kinds.
Bobby, I'm not understanding your question, so rephrase that if you would. Can you describe to the listener out there what your format is in your books? Because I really like the way it's laid out. Can you just describe how you present
sure.
an encounter?
Here's one of the books right here. This is the UNO Encounter, 1970, 1974. It deals with cases from the 1970 and 74. There's like an anthology, a chronology. It's like a chronology of cases. I start from 2015. I have worked my way all the way down to ancient history. And what I do, I try to include as much detail as possible. I mean, many cases there were just brief, you know, anecdotes or information, but many of them do have a lot of detail, and I try to include that. Whenever possible, I try to include an image in the book also. And you know, a lot of the ones with more details are obviously cases that have been investigated by researchers, you know, worldwide. And like I say, many of them are translated. But all these books are like an anthology, a chronology of events through history or from, like I said, 2015. I haven't collected anything after 2015. I mean, for the year 2016, I haven't collected anything. But but 2015 all the way down, and that's why I have so many books, 15 volumes. I mean, they're not that big, but there's a lot of information in them.
Yeah.
They're, you know, 300, over 300 pages. All of them are over 300 pages.
Oh, well, that's a fair size.
Yeah.
There was a question I'm trying to understand I'm asking, Bobby, rephrase your question in the chat room. I couldn't understand what you were saying. Let's see.
I found your Australian cases back on August 8, 1993. The lady's name was Kelly Cahill.
Okay, that's right. Yep.
Kelly Cahill. She was driving with her husband and three children. They saw a huge craft hovering over the roadway, and there were lighted windows. They saw entities in the windows. Then they, these entities were like almost 7 feet tall, black in color, with glowing red eyes, red eyes. And it turned out to be an abduction scenario type of thing. So, very frightening case. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what is this? Is also in the forum a question? What is your opinion on the link between sleep paralysis disorders mistaken for alien encounters?
Well, you know, I suffer from that sometimes, and there is a possibility, because sometimes you have like what you call that, you have that sleep paralysis and you can't move. But most of the time when you have that sleep paralysis, you don't see anything. You don't see any figures or creatures or anything like that. Rarely, when you have that waking dream that you wake up and then you think you saw something, maybe that's, some people think they saw some kind of entity in their room. I think maybe in some cases could be that, yeah. But if you see something substantial that stays around in your room and you're completely awake, you know you're awake. Maybe you're awake, but you're unable to move. You're paralyzed for some reason. You've been paralyzed, but you know you're awake. Your eyes are open. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's sleep paralysis. That's something different. That's like what I call bedroom visitations by, you know, unknown entities.
Yeah. My son has sleep paralysis now and then, and he said that he actually thought he saw like some type of dark figure I have heard of something like that, but I don't think that's the case for everyone, you know, that especially when they're, you know, daytime, people are wide awake, and you know there are some abduction encounters like that. Also, driving, and you know, a whole different.
When you're wide awake and forget it. That wouldn't be cannot be connected to sleep paralysis. And I saw the question from the young lady in the forum. She says she saw a hooded type being, black.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that type of entity is reported a lot also.
Really?
Related to, and mostly in cases where it appears in the bedroom. I don't know if it's evil or not. You know, some people think it is. I'm not here to judge. I don't know.
Yeah, it does sound evil, though, doesn't
it? Yeah, it looks evil.
Yeah.
But
And have you ever researched the possibility of portals, you know, openings like
yes.
the Skinwalker Ranch?
A lot of cases there were entities. I was sent a case from up in the West, and maybe I think it was Arizona, maybe or California, not sure, where this hiker saw he looked like a portal hovering in midair. He said it like a window. He looked up, there was like a window in midair, and out of the window, just like the Skinwalker Ranch, this creature jumped out, a Bigfoot type creature. Now I think portals, or what I call interdimensional pathways, are used by a lot of these entities or humanoids to go or travel or go there or visit here. I think that's my theory. I'm not saying this that's what it is or it's true, that maybe they use other dimensions to travel, interdimensional travel, maybe not even intergalactic travel, maybe interdimensional.
Right. Well, I mean, there's always thoughts about that. You know, there's Paul Eno, who I had on my other show the other night. You know, thinks
Paul Eno, yes.
Yeah, he thinks there's you know, there's information about, or there's some possibility of, you know, different multiverses that are causing this to happen. So there's all
Definitely,
kinds of all kinds
a lot of
thoughts.
Dimensions, many different dimensions, and some of these entities are actually supposedly told their witness or their abductee that they do come from other dimensions or other dimensional planes. And I remember that encounter with that doctor in Maine back in 1975 with the men in black that visited his home. He was told that they were from another dimensional plane. And maybe a lot of these entities are from other dimensions. Who knows?
Yeah. So let's get back to some of the other, you know, really weird encounters. And but before that, were there any encounters besides the beings that were green, where the brother died and the sister kind of grew out of her green state, turned normal? But were there any other cases that the entities, whatever they were, stayed around for a long time?
You know what? There has been cases like that in which, let's say, a stranger suddenly shows up to this town or a small village, and these people are either strange and they're kind of unusual, and they hang around for a while and they do things that, you know, they're totally weird. I mean, and at the end, maybe they leave and people realize that they were dealing with some maybe aliens or entities from another location. These cases are really hard to categorize or summarize, because they some of these are years, you know, they go from span years, like from maybe 10 years to 20 years. I know a case like that from Spain where they had contact with this person that at the end it turned out to be an alien or somebody from another planet claiming that be from another planet or another universe. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Someone wanted to know, do you track the number of different, let's just call them species or creatures?
I don't track them. I just summarize them and I put them in. I write them down, but I don't keep track of any specific species. I look at the type of humanoid, but I don't classify them as different species. I only classify the type of encounter, like, you know, A, B, C, D, E, but not the type of species.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the encounters. Go ahead, if you would. Can you go through that list? Do you have that in front of you?
Sure. Type A.
Is this something that you made up, or I know it?
No. This is from
Hynek?
Other researchers. Hynek. That's the Hynek. And they're different one now. There's different type of. But this is the old system that I keep. I still use. I added a couple things. But type A is when you see a human, an object, a UFO, flying saucer, or a triangle, whatever type of object, either floating or flying or landed, and you see the humanoid or an entity inside the object, you know, either in a cabin or through a window or a dome, clear dome. That's type A. When the humanoid is seen inside the object, he doesn't come out, he doesn't walk around. Okay, that's a very simple case. Then you got type B, B like in Bravo, when there's an object that's seen on the ground, lands, and the entities come out, go walk around, collect samples, soil, whatever they do, and then they're seen to go back right inside the object and take off. Direct connection there to the object, so that's type B. And then there's C, and when there's an object in a field or wherever, and nearby there's some creatures or humanoids performing whatever type of whatever they're doing. They're nearby. Now the witness did not see them go directly back to the object. The witness leaves, so there's a relation there, but not clear. So that's type C. And then there's type D, which is not so clear either. When there's a UFO flap, and there's a lot of sightings in the area, and somebody sees a strange creature in the field, but there's no UFO around at all whatsoever, but there's been a lot of UFOs in the area, the day before or the week before. So they relate that to maybe this entity or this creature is related to those UFOs. And after that, we have E, which is very common nowadays, which is an entity or a humanoid seen completely without any craft, or not in the company of a UFO or a ball of light or anything like that. Maybe that's a human or entity that shows up in your room in the middle of the night, or you see in your backyard, or you see when you're out in the woods hiking, anywhere. And they're obviously alien type or creature or humanoid, but you don't see them with in a UFO or in a flying saucer or anything like that. And these are very, very common. After that, we have the abduction, which that was one of the last ones that Hynek included there. G, like in golf, that's when the person is abducted. They see an object or driving down isolated road, and the vehicle stopped, and then they have a missing time episode, like late Bud Hopkins, his books. And then they wake up and they're in a different location, and they go through hypnotic regression, and it turned out to be they have been abducted for whatever purpose. And that's the type G. And then there's the H, which is for cases of like Roswell and the alleged crash of objects or UFOs, a recovery by the government or military. And there's also a couple more, which is F. It's like a psychic type of cases, which is maybe you see an object hovering and you feel mental communication from the object, but you don't see a humanoid or a creature. There are some cases like that. I mean, they put those cases in the F. They didn't know what to make them. And then they have this is one I made myself, type X, which is a very weird type of case with a lot of different types of scenarios, maybe the disappearance of the witness or maybe even the death of the witness or somebody. I term those that are X, really like the X-File type of cases.
Yeah, I see where that works. There's someone on the message board that asked this question, and I'm really interested in this. I'd love to actually do a show about it sometime. The Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. Did you look into that in Tennessee? Is that I'm sorry, Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't really, I know about the case a lot. It's one of the most famous, cases in the 50s, 1955, there was a flap of encounters, mostly in that area there, Kentucky, Ohio, and that area in the Pennsylvania Midwest. But the Kelly Hopkinsville case is definitely one of the most high, strange, or incredible cases ever. And it is cataloged in my book. I do have it summarized. And it's very convincing. I think, for me, it's a very convincing case.
Yeah. Why don't you, for the person out there that has not ever heard of this, why don't you kind of go into exactly what happened or, purportedly happened?
Well, this is in 1955. I believe it was August. There was a family in a place called, it was near Hopkinsville, but they were in a smaller place called Kelly, which was on the outside of outskirts of Hopkinsville. And at first, supposedly one of the family, they were on a, I think they were barbecuing. One of the family members saw a craft land in a nearby ravine or something, and they didn't, you know, pay too much attention to it. They just disregarded it. After a while, they saw lights outside, and then when they looked out, there was several, what did they describe as a short beings, green in color. They seemed to glow, large ears, huge eyes, and dangling arms. They will come up to the house. Some of them will climb on top of the roof, get up to the windows. There was a really big thing because they were shot at by some of the residents. And some of them, they were struck by the bullet, they will fall down, roll on the ground, and get up, and keep on walking. I guess they were like impervious to the bullets. And
yeah,
some of the witnesses.
Hang on just 1 second. So if you are watching on YouTube, take a look now. I put a rendering of what the beings look like. You'll see that up on the screen. That is, if it's working. So go ahead, keep going about this. It's interesting.
Yeah, and some of the witnesses, I'm looking at some of the pictures here. Well, one of the witnesses stepped out with a shotgun, and there was one of the creatures on the roof and the porch and grabbed him by the hair and pulled his hair. And he shot at it, and it kind of floated to the ground, but apparently unharmed, and they just ran away. And these people, after a while, they couldn't take it anymore, and they ran to the police. They got into their car, and they ran to the police.
Yeah, weren't they like... all night long, waiting.
Yes. Like a siege. It was actually like a siege the whole night. They went through, and then in the morning.
Did the military?
The next day,
someone wanted to know if the military ever got involved in that.
There's rumors that the family was secret or away briefly or for a period of time by possibly government agencies, and maybe they were interviewed or something. I don't know, but I'm not 100% sure. But there's the information that possibly that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Someone on the message board wanted to know if you've have ever found any physical evidence or anyone that claims, you know, to have any physical evidence of any of these encounters.
It's almost impossible. Well, as physical evidence,
I know there's a number of renderings, but has anyone ever, taken a picture that couldn't be, basically debunked?
Well, there's been a lot of photos of supposedly entities and humanoids. Like most photos are such a creature or humanoid, for some reason they're either grainy or you can't really see anything, but some of them are like the Stella Lansing photos up in and where is she from? I think Massachusetts. She back in the late 60s, she took some photos, and they could see some figures there, but they're few and far between. Worldwide, there's been, most of them are obviously fake. Most of the stuff you see now on the internet is fake, all those videos. I mean, I don't even bother with that, but physical evidence, I see physical evidence are like maybe landing traces, burnt grass or ground, pieces of some kind of material left behind, and there's, you know, but I don't think, as far as concrete, if you believe in the UFO crash retrieval stories, like Roswell, maybe the government has all the answers. Who knows?
It could be. What about underground? Has any of that come up? You know, people reporting that beings are from underground, and I can either even go further and say, how about any? There's USOs. Is there any water sightings besides mermaids?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Underground. There's been a lot of abductees that claim that instead of being taken to a spacecraft, they've been taken to some kind of underground facility. And some of them claim that some of these facilities are manned by military, or U.S. military or human-type military, in connection with other aliens. But, yeah, I have heard of on the ground facility. As far as the USO with entities, yeah, there's been some. Mostly, maybe they come up upon a floating UFO right off the coast or right off the beach. It's floating on the water, and there's a clear dome, and there's figures standing on top of the one, that type of thing. Besides, like, you know, the mermaid type of incident. Yeah, there's been cases like that also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, what about the Ariel school encounter in Zimbabwe?
Oh, yeah, that was one of the most amazing cases because there were so many witnesses and so many children. And even some of the teachers saw that what happened. And there were, and you know, it happened in 94.
Right.
And it's still talked about it a lot, and it's one of the cases which I do have categorized, you know, in one of my books. I do have it summarized in my book. It happened, I believe, September 1994.
Right, yeah. To me, I think it's, personally, I think it's one of the most amazing cases. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Emily, one of the girls that was right up close. You know,
oh, yeah?
This thing happened.
Okay.
Yes, I met her a year ago.
Wow, because there were many students there that they did drawings of the entities or the UFOs right after it happened, and to this day they still talk about it, and they, you know, they haven't been able to debunk the incident.
Right, and you know, it really affected all these kids' lives differently. Some have, you know, moved on and not made it much of their life. But it really has affected that. And a friend of mine is, you know, has been editing and working on this great movie about this now for years, I think seven years now. But he's interviewed, you know, a really good deal of the children in recent times, you know, and they're in their 20s.
Right. Well, there were supposedly like 62 of them children.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that, 64, 62, you're right, yeah. No, that to me is one of the most incredible cases, and you know, just the telepathic messages that they seem to receive is, you know, can give you the shivers when you think about it.
A lot of these messages are warnings of what's coming up in the future, and these warnings have been heard by witnesses all over the world, Russia, Canada, U.S., Spain. And, you know, if you look at them, people, I don't think we pay any heed, any, you know, we don't pay attention. I think we're being warned for some reason, and I think there might be some really drastic changes, earth changes coming up. I don't know. I'm not saying next year or tomorrow, maybe, but soon.
I
have a feeling.
Soon, as far as our time goes, is could be in... Even 100 years. 100 years sounds like a long time, but it's not really. Something could change. So yeah, I agree. I hope. You know, there was a number of these messages that people have gotten. In your recollection, how early have you heard of cases where there was some type of heed, some type of warning?
Even in the early contactees in the '50s or. You know, some of them, you know, I'm not gonna judge. Maybe they had some real experiences. Mostly were like fake, like, you know, some, yeah. You can see now. But a lot of these people that reported encounters in the 50s, there was always some kind of message saying that back then there was a lot of stay away from stop the use of atomic weapons that's how it started. And now it has to do a lot with climate change. A lot of the cases, encounters back in the 1989 in Russia, a lot of the entities told the witnesses that in 2000, after 2001 or 10, that there's going to be a lot of, look at the weather, how it's been. And it's true. I think all of that's coming true. Mm-hmm. Every year the weather is just stranger.
Right. Yeah. Yep. There's a lot of denial about that too, but you know, I think we are messing with it. And anyway, do you know of any of the encounters where there were actually the mortalities?
There's been some cases in which the witnesses, for some reason, after the encounter, they get sick and they die right away or in a couple of weeks, and they think that there's a connection. There's a famous case in Brazil from 1946. And this farmer, he didn't really see an object. He saw a beam of light that came down from the sky, and it struck him right in full body. And this guy almost immediately started getting sick. His whole body just fell apart. He started vomiting black blood, and most of his muscles started deteriorating, and he died like almost the same night. This is back in I believe March 1946 in Brazil. Now,
oh yeah,
is that
the one where he was sleeping like in a shack and the light came in?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. That was
and the lights, brutal. And the light struck right. him. Yeah. And there was another guy up in Colombia, which the same thing. This is in '69. There was a UFO that landed. Some kids approached the UFO, and this guy approached the UFO. For some reason, the light struck him, and he died a couple of days later. It's some kind of the doctor could only describe it as some kind of cancer or blood related to the blood that was really fast. It just came, you know, something really, really fatal. And there's like other cases with some kids approached a UFO in Peru and they were burnt, and a couple of them died. But you know, thankfully you don't hear too many of those. But if I will give an advice, I wouldn't rush up to if you see a UFO or something, an entity, I wouldn't rush up to them.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember asking Travis Walton. I said, "How could you just jump out of the truck and run up to that thing? It's pretty amazing."
Maybe I say that, but maybe if I see something close up to me like that, I'll try to go up to it. But
not
but
me.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I'll leave that up to you. Men in Black. Now, a lot of people have said, from description that they don't seem human. Is this anything that you've kind of put in the bundle of humanoid, or is that a whole separate category for you?
No, I include them in my humanoid reports, yeah, the Men in Black. And I think they're different types. I think some of them really look bizarre. Some of them are this type of entities that, like a lot of the witnesses describe, that they seem to be wearing makeup.
To cover
their features. Yes, or even lipstick. Even wigs, and they look completely bizarre, odd, and they walk like a robot, and they talk, but some of them are more human-like, and they seem to be more at ease and more human. They don't seem to be needing to wear the makeup. So I don't know. Maybe there's two different types of Men in Black also.
Yeah. I know Nick Redfern did a book on Women in Black, too.
Yeah, so there's some excellent book, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some of that as well. And so what other types of... now, here's something I just thought of, and I don't think anyone's ever talked about it. No one's ever seen a UFO and then a Men in Black immediately. It's always like days after or something like that, isn't it?
Either that or maybe a couple of days after. Maybe the witness sees a UFO... or a disc or whatever, and then a couple of days later or maybe the next day I don't remember cases of you mean a man in black inside the UFO or next to the UFO,
or
is that what
or just like they possibly exited out of one or something?
Oh, maybe those cars that were driving out of those UFOs back in, and maybe those were Men in Black, but I can't think of one right off the top of my head. No.
Okay.
No.
So in the forum, there was a question, have you ever encountered a report of any bluish colored, similar to grays, but a bluish, or I think something was related to Eisenhower at some point.
Bluish type of humanoids, yeah. Glowing. Some of them are glowing blue. Some of them are bluish tint to their skin. Yeah, there's several of those cases in my database also, bluish type of humanoids, and not all of them are gray or green. They're different colors. But yeah, I heard of the bluish type of humanoid. Now there's another type that everybody's talking about. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it. The BEKs, the black eyed kids.
Yeah.
What do you think about those?
Oh yeah, so that's another thing.
I tend not to include those in my summaries, but I have some of those in there already because they're just too weird. I don't know what they are. I can't say they're extraterrestrial. I doubt it. I don't know. What do you think? You have any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I've heard about the encounters. They sound really scary. It sounds like something that would be thought of in a nightmare. But
It reminds me of the vampires when they can't get in your house. They ask to have permission to get in. So they knock on the door. Can we come in? And for some reason, they can't come in if you don't tell them, you don't let them come in, or if you don't say yes, come in. I don't know. How weird. It's kind of weird.
Right. Now, someone wanted to know in the message board, is there like a percentage of like good versus bad, humanoids that people are claiming to encounter?
There's definitely some humanoids that they have an evil aura to them that you could sense they're not good. I mean, I think we have that instinct in us as humans, back in the we were cavemen, that we could sense that something's not good, that we and then we go into a protection mode. And I think a lot of people that suddenly get that overwhelming fear when they encounter some kind of entity are faced with maybe an entity that might harm them. You know, we read those books by Dave Paulides. Of people that disappear in national forest, and a lot of those people, what you don't know what happened to them. Maybe they were taken by and never returned. They were adopted. I mean, not abducted, but they were not returned. Maybe they were taken permanently. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Someone was just asking about. We've already covered the interdimensional. And that's all a possibility, as you're saying. Now, the Westhall case in Australia, I don't think that had humanoids in it, did it?
That's another case. Well, in Australia, with a lot of kids were involved,
daytime sightings, students. But I don't think there were any beings. It was just the craft themselves, as far as I remember.
As far as I remember, there's no description of beings. Some of them claim maybe there was an abduction, but I haven't really gotten any information about that. But as far as I know, there wasn't any beings reported in the craft or near the craft.
Yeah. I've heard people that are, it's good to be skeptic of, a lot of the stories.
Oh, of course.
Someone like Michael Shermer, I talked about him earlier. When Michael Shermer is asked about any of this, he'll say, "Oh, it goes back to the fairies and the goblins and the things through time. There's always been something." And then you can also look at that same point of view as, there has always been something.
If fairies and goblins, they're still being seen. I mean, there's still cases of people that see that something that looks like a goblin or a fairy or an elf. It's not like it, not just in the Middle Ages. There's tons of cases, maybe in the 50s, even in the 90s, of cases of creatures that you would look like a leprechaun. I have a lady that talked to me and over the phone about a leprechaun that she found in her bedroom. That she was sleeping and woke up and there was something that looked like like what you would describe a leprechaun standing in her bedroom with a beard, but it for her it looked like it was kind of evil. Maybe like just like the movie, but she sounded very serious about it, and she said it disappeared. But I have heard of other cases of people encountering leprechaun type entities.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And also, the angels is another thing that people talk about or have talked about. What they consider to be an angel, and is this all perception or is this, there's actually people actually seeing things, or You know,
maybe it's perception, because I know of maybe cases where people see a tall, blonde humanoid and they think is an angel. They think that's what the angel is supposed to look like. I don't know. It's what you, maybe that's what your religious beliefs come into play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, watch your tapping there. Brought up the Edgar Mitchell Free Organization.
Not
sure if, yeah. And there's statistics there on the commonalities of alien types. Have you looked into any of that to see if you see any similar
describing? I know Ray personally, the guy that that founded the
Hernandez Free.
Hernandez, yeah. I met him a couple times. I have not directly. I've been trying to get access to the database, but I got to meet him personally again, so I could do that. I haven't been able to. I've kind of been remiss. I got to call him and see if I could get together with him, so I could maybe exchange information with him.
Someone wanted to know about the, and I can't even pronounce it. Varginha UFO incident.
Varginha, that was what they called the Brazilian Roswell.
Oh,
it happened in crash retrieval, very well documented by a lot of researchers in Brazil. It happened in '96 in January, and there was supposedly a crash of a large cigar-shaped object, and then later the next day, some girls out in the woods near their home in Varginha saw several strange creatures that they were seemed to be hiding in the woods, and the military was called in. Apparently, they captured them, and there's a report that one of the soldiers died during the incident. But it is a very well documented case in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the Brazilian Roswell.
And is that the one where it looked like a devil? Is that?
Well, they had like their heads looked like they had ridges, like that, the Klingon, like that, similar. And they were short, and they were not gray. They had large eyes, but they have like Klingon-like ridges in their head, like three of them. They were definitely strange-looking humanoids. I haven't heard of that description too much.
Yeah, and were a lot of these cases that you've looked into, would you consider whatever the beings were in a higher intelligence than us? You'd have to think that if they actually traveled to get here somehow, whatever way they got here from wherever they came from.
You would think so, yeah. That most of them are so advanced. Some of them even tell us that they're like thousands of years ahead of us. But then some of them don't act that way. I mean, I don't know, but I think most of them are possess an intelligence greater than we do. Maybe they some of them look at us like we're still cavemen, or maybe they look at us like we're lab rats or ants. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we are. I think in some ways we are pretty primitive.
Yeah. I think so too.
We've got a lot of social growing to do for, without blowing ourselves up if we're lucky enough. Let's see. I just wanted to just ask you, can you throw out some other really strange encounters? Just give us some of the cases that were really, really unusual or believe, some of them that were pretty believable as well.
Let me get my file with some. In the file is some of the ones that were sent to me directly.
All right. Before you do that, can you tell us, is there any known figure, historical figure, besides, I know Columbus, I saw that in your book, but is there any other really well-known figure that actually went on the books to actually say they saw something?
As far as well known, maybe not, but maybe he's well known in his country. I know a case that I got recently. The Dominican ambassador to the Vatican. Maybe he's very famous in the Dominican Republic, but back in 1974, he was involved in a close encounter with a landed UFO, and where he lived in the Dominican Republic. His name is Victor Grimaldi. Mm-hmm. You can look him up on the internet. He's not going to. I mean, his story came out in a newspaper and an account that was sent to me, and I translated it. But he's now the current ambassador to the Vatican, and there's been other people. Maybe they remain anonymous. They don't want to. But I mean, there's witnesses. You have police officers. You have all kinds of witnesses to these encounters throughout the years, and be it here or in Canada, Australia. But there's a lot of law enforcement people involved in the encounters because they, the time of night. I mean, the time when they work at night a lot. I know a couple that used to work with me that I know personally that had encounters.
Wow.
And they're pretty logical human beings, and they and
yeah.
I can go ahead.
So one of the questions that came up on the message board was, what would you consider the average agenda for the being to be here?
Like that, like some people say, maybe they've always been here with us. As far as an agenda, maybe they're here. Some people say maybe they're looking after us, or maybe they're trying to prevent something from happening. I'm not sure. Maybe there's some others that they're not so kindly towards us, and maybe there's some of them that they're trying to prevent them. Maybe there's a struggle between different types, and we're stuck in the middle. I'm not sure. All I have is theories.
Right. Yes.
No.
Someone wanted to know also any morphing. That makes me think of werewolves. But
well, yeah. Like the case I mentioned earlier here in Miami, the lady I spoke to, she said to encounter a female humanoid in her home that then morphed into a reptilian type creature right in front of her eyes. And there's been cases like that. There's a researcher in Israel in 1997 had a case in which a couple woke up to see two little men similar to the the graves and large heads, the eyes weren't that big, and then these all of a sudden, when they were discovered in the house, they morphed into tall Nordics. Wow. I found that case kind of weird.
Yeah,
back in 97. There's cases like that, morphing. Yeah.
I think I'm going to try. I'm going to attempt to take a phone call if someone would like to call in, and I'll give that number out. I'll put it in the chat. There's plenty of people in the chat room. I'm going to give that number out. And what might have to happen is I might have to interrupt you just for a second. I might have to take the call, get their question, and then
sure.
Because I'm not sure. Sometimes I can join the call. Sometimes I can't. That's just a thought.
Okay.
Okay, so I just put the number in the chat room there. What is your the future for? Are you just going to keep writing as the years go by? Because you said you're up to 2015.
Yeah, I'm still collecting cases, but I'm only collecting cases from 2015 down. I stopped collecting from 2016 or 17. I haven't collected any for these years, but I plan writing other books, different, dealing with humanoids, but different with the new cases that I get daily. I'll do that. I'm working on a couple already.
Are you thinking about researching other type of things as well besides, humanoids, or is that kind of your niche?
Well, that's mostly that, but I am looking into cases in which people disappear permanently, like I was talking about earlier, and they're never seen again, and there's a definite connection to UFOs or humanoids. There are some cases like that. I'm working on that.
Yeah. You mentioned David Pilates'
books. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fascinating topic.
It is, yeah.
How people have just, vanished, or all these strange things that can't be explained. I think it's really interesting where he never takes an opinion on exactly what happens. He doesn't want to.
No, I think
that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Even, you know, he has written books about Bigfoot before.
That's right. So, yep.
Yeah. And, so he's a Bigfoot guy.
You know, he's a MUFON investigator. You know, I mean, he's been
also.
So has your, it sounds like you know quite a bit about UFOs, you know, cases as well. So you kind of researched a lot of that.
Yeah, I've been, like I said, I started with the UFO books, like, you know, they mentioned the light in the sky, the disc, and then that really intrigued me. And then I started reading cases about little men or humanoids, and that really, I was hooked then. I was, been a lifelong task, ending, never-ending task.
Yeah. Have you been able to get your files? You said you were going to grab some files and read some of the really interesting cases.
Yeah, I believe. Let me see. 1 second. See on that.
Sure.
There's this. This is the cases that that the witness contacted me directly.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah.
Some of them. This is case. This is from England, the UK. A place called Barking, like a dog barking.
Uh-huh.
Essex. The witness, I have the initials MR, had gone to bed while his wife was visiting her friend with their daughter. He had a small, you know, dimly lit lamp in his bedroom. And for some reason, when he went to bed, he was feeling kind of apprehensive. He wasn't sure why. And he, as he lay there facing the window, he suddenly felt someone sit at the edge of the bed. He sat straight up. And then to see a humanoid-looking female sitting at the edge of the bed. As he looked at her, he felt like somehow he knew her, but he was afraid. He still felt afraid. This humanoid female used a hand motion, apparently telling the witness to calm down, using a hand. According to him, she was wearing a tight-fitting gray suit with a black belt around her waist. She had black eyes with blonde hair and was staring at the witness, and then as he stared at her, at him, I mean, this has gone on for a couple minutes already, so you know he cannot be a sleep paralysis. She suddenly vanished in plain sight. He thinks that if he would not have shown fear, he thinks the contact might have lasted a little longer than that. It was fascinating. He saw a humanoid, maybe a type of Nordic, not really, I don't know.
Hmm.
But interesting. And this is another sent to me by a witness in Pennsylvania, Sterling, a place called Sterling. It's a little town, Wayne County. She has another encounter, but look, this is kind of fascinating. She was doing some chores in the kitchen. She looked out the window, a snow-covered field behind her home. I think this is 2009, March, and I guess there was still snow there. And she spotted what she described to me as three tall, black, like stick-like figures. You know, we were talking about that earlier, two-dimensional type. Uh-huh. They were like walking sticks, walking side by side in unison. They were moving very fast and very quick, and they were very quickly lost from sight into the woods. But she was like, baffled, because she says she couldn't figure out what kind of creature could that be that looked like a walking stick, three of them.
Wow.
And she went over there to check for traces with a friend, and when she went to the location, they smelled some kind of odor, like something burning, but they didn't see any traces. This is back in 2009.
Wow. So yeah, well, keep going. If you could, you have some other ones right there.
All right, let me see. Some are kind of long. I don't want to, you know, too long.
Well, we've got about 15 minutes left, so we've got plenty of time here.
Okay, this one was sent to me by hold on, sorry. Okay, this is the one I mentioned earlier, and from Spain. It was sent directly to me by the witness. He was in two friends that were out there and exercising in the woods. It was at night, and they saw first they saw like a sphere, a luminous sphere, about the quarter size of the moon. It descended over them, and they were like, for some reason they ignored it. They had let it go, and then all of a sudden they felt like a big, powerful, what they described to me, an electric current. A minute later, the large sphere vanished behind the woods, and then a smaller sphere appeared that seemed to detach itself from the larger one. And at this point, they were curious about it, and they walked over to the location. And once they reached a point there in the woods, they smelled something like sulfur, very strong, a sulfuric odor. And the temperature around them seemed to rise. It seemed to get hotter. The main witness, the one I spoke to, he decided to go ahead with his friends. He ran ahead for some reason, while the others behind him, they were screaming at him to stop, not to go. Once he did, this is when he came upon what he described, a gigantic figure. He said over 3 to 4 meters tall, that was standing behind there was a wall there. And there was a glow around the figure that was bright golden yellow. He stared in disbelief at the figure, and he said the figure was dark, mostly dark. He appeared to be wearing some type of clothing, but he was too dark to tell. Terrified, he ran from the area. As they ran, his friends followed him. They said that as they ran, they felt like they were running through spider webs. They were like their movements were kind of restricted for some reason. They couldn't tell why, because it was like nothing. They couldn't see anything around them. And then they left. Apparently, a couple of these witnesses later on experienced like strange phone calls to their home and other kind of weird details.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we got time for a couple more.
Here's another weird, really weird one. From Belgium, February 1974. He was sent to me by a researcher that he has already passed, Roger Lorthor. He was a Belgian researcher. But anyway, this is back, and this is a gas station attendant. In the afternoon, late afternoon, so it wasn't at night or anything like that, he stepped out for a moment and was confronted by an incredible sight, according to him. He said over a nearby field about 20 meters away, he saw what he could only describe was a transparent egg-shaped craft that was ringed in multicolored lights with four larger principal lights at each end. It was silent, and it had no apparent means of propulsion. He couldn't see any engines or anything like that. And it was hovering like a meter from the ground, no noise or anything. But the incredible thing was inside the craft. This is what he saw. He appeared to be a naked, giant human-like figure, about 3 meters in height, apparently reclining on a brown, what he described only as a couch, or a couch-like device. This person, with whatever that was, naked, 3 meters tall, were reclined on a couch, on a brown couch type. Not exactly a couch, but he could only describe it as that.
Hold on just 1 minute.
Sure.
I'm going to try to take this call. It may hang up on. It won't hang up on you. It might put you on hold. Hang on. Hello, caller.
Hey, Martin. This is Tom out of Pittsburgh. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You know what? Unfortunately, I'm not able to add the call for some reason. So Albert is on hold right now. So basically, why don't you throw your question out there, and I'll basically relay it to him.
Sure. The biggest thing I always thought about, especially in the research that I have done, and a lot of the books and documentaries I've watched and read, my biggest thing I always wanted to know, and your guess, what his opinion is what does he believe the overall agenda for them visiting our planet and kind of visiting the way they do, especially with abductions and whatever dealings they have with our government, and what has transpired between them and our government to keep to disclosure and not really talk about it?
Okay, and so I will pass that along to him. I know that he did mention he did talk a bit about what he thought the agenda was earlier, but I will pass that.
Oh, okay.
I will pass that on to him. Thanks so much for the call.
No problem, guys. Have a great night.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Martin.
Thank you. Let's see if I can. Albert, are you there?
I'm here. Yes.
Well, so he basically wanted to know what the agenda was. He's done a lot of research himself, the gentleman that was just on, and he also wanted to know if there was any like government interaction, or if there was that you're aware of, what your the thoughts of the government would be about certain beings. May not be relaying that correctly, but
maybe he means that there's a government connection, that maybe they're working together with certain type of beings. That I'm not sure. I know there's been some witnesses that describe encounters on board a UFO with both aliens and what appear to be humans that working together with the aliens. Now these government or military, I don't know, but some of them seem to be. I have no theory on that. I don't know if it's really happening.
Yeah, are you talking about Clifford Stone? Is that who I'm thinking of that says something like that?
Yeah, I read about Clifford Stone. There's many researchers that claim that or that are convinced that that's really happening. I mean, I don't know. I won't doubt it. Maybe there is a certain government. People are doing it, maybe not the whole government. I don't know.
Right. Someone just wanted to say thank you in the chat room. Mike Blake, he says, thank you for writing these books. And you really...
Oh, Mike. Yes, I know Mike. Okay.
Oh, you know Mike. It's really... I was talking to someone about this the other day. You know, it's basically a passion. I mean, it's not a money-making... I bet you haven't made a lot of money on your books.
And that's, a couple of dinners here and there. That's about it.
The big misconception that people have, for the most part, is that, he's an author, he's making a lot of money on this, so it could be BS, that type of thing. But you don't make money, but yet you keep writing books, 15 books.
15 books, yeah.
And if anyone out there has ever tried to write a book, just one book, getting in, the first few chapters is, it's a chore.
It's not easy. I was helped a lot by my editor, Ash Staunton. I had a lot of the material already written. I just didn't know what to do with it. And I was finally convinced to put it into book form by several people, mostly Ash. And here it is after... In a year or so, it's been 15 volumes.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. And let's see. There was someone wanted to ask a question, and I just lost it. So, we still have, at least 5 minutes left. And when you were doing this, what do you think is the most far out? If you had to pick the most far out case that maybe something you almost didn't even want to put in the book, I want to hear it. You can think of it.
Well, that one I was talking about, that about the naked giant inside of the transparent aircraft, that was kind of weird. He said he had a human features, short black hair, and then the couple other witnesses came out and saw it, and he just floated away. That was kind of weird. It's just so many. I can't think of one that. I know there's many, right? But right now at this moment, it's just so much information. The funny thing is, right after I got that case from Belgium, there was another case from Italy, very similar. There are a couple of different details, but this is from Messina province in Italy, a place called Tonarella, 66. Okay, this is a young woman that was in her house. She looked out the window. Her apartment, and located in the center of town, and spotted was something luminous, that was quickly approaching her location from the direction of the southwest part of town. As it got closer, she said the luminous object began to assume a cylindrical shape, also transparent. And then she watched the cylinder shaped object approach even closer to her location. She said that the cylinder was illuminated from within by a homogeneous light, and the craft then descended to within several meters from the ground, about 50 meters away from her. And she could hear a low motor-like sound. She couldn't tell exactly what it was, but this is the weird thing, just like the Belgian case. So inside the object, the transparent object, it was visible a male, a human-like figure that appeared to be floating. This guy was floating in a vertical position inside the object. Now, this guy was weird looking. He said the figure was about maybe 1.70 meters, maybe, I think was that almost 6 feet in height, and the cylinder was to be only about 3 meters in height. Okay, the eyes were closed. He had his eyes closed, and he was totally immobile. He wasn't moving. What she thought was he was meditating, and the facial features are funny, are strange. He said they were human-like, and he had like a very long gray beard. And that gave him the appearance of an elderly, person, elderly guy, just like me, with a beard. And the humanoid figure was wearing a one-piece red tunic-type garment, and this is what appeared to be sandals on his feet. She was very impressed at the large silvery, and he had she was impressed that he had a large silvery medallion in the chest area, shaped like a circle with an iridescent spot in the middle. And she was looking at it. The craft suddenly shot away, quickly disappearing from sight, and again becoming a luminous spot into the distance. This is from an Italian researcher.
No.
So you compare both cases, the Belgium case and this Italian. So it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, the one encounter that I really like a lot is the Jan Wolski. Do you know that? Wolski
in Poland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah, the guy was abducted and